over the last 5 years, we've consistently earned back $8 to $15 for every dollar we've spent on Facebook. And that return happens really fast. And it's and we've been able to do that consistently for 5 years. And I don't know anyone else that's really been able to do that. You see people maybe can pull that kind of a return if it's like a big launch and there's all this hype and publicity around it. But for us to get that kind of ROI, like clockwork, boom, 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 over years and years, really just shows you the power of the model and the power of, you know, hey man, it's high ticket, it's expensive, but it's like you're selling people what they actually need.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. What's up, Tyler Basu here. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. One of the lessons that I had to learn the hard way, especially in my early 20s, was not to underestimate the power of focus and sticking to one thing until you master it and make it work versus getting impatient and moving on to something else. I'm most definitely guilty of this from pretty much the age of like 18 to 25. I was just kind of bouncing around a bunch of different industries and losing patience in each of those industries because I wasn't getting to my goals as fast as I thought I would. And the reason I bring this up is because my guest on the show today has done the opposite. He focused on one target market, provided them with one core offer, and relied on one primary strategy for his client acquisition, which just happened to be Facebook ads to a webinar funnel that gets people to schedule a call if they're interested in his program. And he's just focused on that strategy for 5+ years now. And using that strategy, he was able to grow his business from startup, you know, with just him, no full-time employees, no full-time team members, to 7 figures in revenue, then start building out his team and reaching 8 figures in revenue, still relying on that primary customer acquisition strategy of Facebook ads to a webinar. So in our conversation together, we focus a little bit on that strategy that he used to scale his company, but also what was happening internally. Like, what were the systems he was putting in place? Who were the people he was hiring? What was happening with his growth as an individual? And some of that good stuff. So on that note, we're going to dive right in. This is Russ Ruffino from ClientsOnDemand.com. This is a training and coaching company that has helped thousands of coaches and subject matter experts learn how to charge premium prices for their programs and use Facebook advertising to fill their pipeline with potential clients. Tyler Basu here, and I got a special guest, Russ Ruffino from Clients on Demand, founder and CEO. We spoke a few years ago. We did an interview about 3 years back, and I remember you being a 7-figure business at the time with a growing team, tons of case studies of successful clients that you helped them with their marketing and their sales. And you are officially an 8-figure business, right? And listed by Inc. as one of the fastest growing companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So congrats to you, man. That is some good work.
Thank you, sir.
That is some good momentum. Catch me up on all that's happened the last few years, though. I'd love to hear in your own words, like what you guys are focused on right now, how things are going.
Yeah, well, as you know, what we do is we work with coaches, consultants, thought leaders, professional service providers, basically anybody that solves a major life or business challenge. So if you have unique expertise and you use your expertise to help your clients solve some big problems, whether that's in health or wealth building or relationships or business or spiritual development or fitness or anything like that, that's our client. That's who we work with. And so what we help those people do is rapidly scale their businesses to 6 figures a month, up into the 7-figure, and now we've gotten into 8-figure territory. How can you do that rapidly using online marketing in a way that creates a lot of freedom for you and still makes an amazing impact on the lives of your clients? So that's what we do. And over the last few years, you know, we have a very basic strategy that we teach to help coaches and experts get new clients in the door, and how to enroll those clients at premium prices, like $5,000, $8,000, $10,000. And that's the strategy that we use. And so as we've gotten better and better and better at that strategy, honestly, man, when we spoke before and we were at the 7-figure mark, now today we're at the well into the 8-figure mark, we're doing the same thing. We're just doing more of it, right? Right. The strategy is scalable. And when you get to a, you know, when you get to a higher level in your business, obviously you got a bigger team, you have more people to manage, you have all these things, but the actual client acquisition strategy is exactly the same as it was, you know, back then as it is today. And it's the same strategy that we teach to our clients. So what's cool about this is that it is totally scalable.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're talking about teaching people how to run ads to some kind of a marketing funnel, like a, you know, maybe a video presentation or a webinar presentation to appointment in their calendar. Mm-hmm. And then they take it from there, right? That's like what starts their sales process.
That's it. Right. So we looked at like, all, you know, there's so many different funnels and processes out there and ways of getting clients. And, you know, you've got all those people out there that teach sort of content marketing mm-hmm. where you're going to write a New York Times bestseller. And then from the New York Times bestseller, eventually you're going to get clients, or you're going to blog and you're going to write all these blog posts. And then somehow you're going to get discovered, or you're going to spend all day on Instagram or whatever it is. But what we find is that the best way to actually drive business into the door today, not like 6 months from now or a year from now when you've built this big following, but how to do it today is just run ads. How do you and run ads on social media targeting the exact client that you want? And so then once we realized that, we realized, well, what's the simplest possible process? What's the shortest process we could take them through before mm-hmm. they enroll with us at a $5,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 price or whatever the price is? And so if you look at funnels now, then it's like even funnels are massively overcomplicated, where some people will tell you, hey, sell them a $7 ebook, right? And then, you know, and then upsell them a $27 thing and then a $47 thing.
Yeah,
and then a 90, you know, and it's like, you know, a few years ago, I got a Bentley, and when I walked into the Bentley dealership, guess what they did? They sold me a Bentley. They didn't,
sell you a keychain first.
Yeah. Sell me a floor mat and then whatever, you know, it's like, so if you've got something that can really help people, it's like, just offer them that. And so you're exactly right. What we do is run ads on social media into a presentation, like a webinar. And that's what we teach our clients to do for the most part. And then from the webinar, they book an appointment to speak to you. And then right there on that call, you can enroll them into one of your high ticket programs. And so that's how we get such quick results for people, because the strategy is so simple and so clean. It's like, it just works.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, and I know that you drink your own Kool-Aid as well, because I remember you seeing you get to seven figures just off of the ads. Like, mm-hmm. I went and checked out your website. There was no blog. There was no podcast. I know there is now. You're doing some more stuff now. You're doing more interviews, more content now. Mm-hmm. But that's not what got you to seven figures in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. It was just a simple funnel.
No, that, I mean, we didn't start doing like podcasting or any of those things until we were doing well over $1 million a month.
Yeah.
Wow. So good for you guys. It's like, this strategy is like the sundae, it's the ice cream, it's everything. And then maybe like the cherry on top is like, okay, we'll do some podcasts just to get like a little bit more exposure.
Sure.
But I think the problem is some people make content their primary strategy. And it's, and when you do that, it's, first of all, you got to do all this work and create all this content. And then your voice is just one voice in like the sea of millions of voices, where I think I read the other day that, like, I think it was 48 hours of video footage is uploaded to YouTube every second. So this idea that you're going to put all this content out there and then somehow people are going to discover you, sure, maybe that happens, but it's a hell of a long shot. Whereas if you're paying for the traffic and you're paying for the advertising, you know they're going to see it. You know they're going to click. You know they're going to watch your webinar, and you know they're going to book a call. And if you handle the call properly, you know they're going to become a client. And so you get from A to Z much quicker. If the end game in your business is, I want to get clients in the door at $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 prices, it's mm-hmm. like, this is the fastest way to get there. And then any content stuff you do, it can augment it. It can help, but you'll never be dependent on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. No, and you brought up a good point about like the time frame as well. Because what I've seen in pretty much at least over a dozen markets that I've like been a part of creating campaigns and stuff for is that, we always want to start with targeting the people that are looking for us now, you know, and you can get in front of them with your ads and then very quickly go from ad to, you know, call in your calendar or free trial or whatever the sign up process is. And then for the percent of your market that they're not quite ready to grab to buy something today, but they might be in a month or two or three or four, or six or 12 or a couple of years. For them, it's going to take the content. Like, yeah, you know, get them on your email list, nurture them, stay in touch with them, play the long game as well. But you can get to seven figures playing the short game of just getting in front of the market that needs you now.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I think Like you said, there's nothing wrong with following up with those people that aren't ready today. I think the mistake that people make is they don't make an offer to the people that are ready today.
Right.
They assume, let me get them on my list and then I'll nurture them for 6 months and I don't want to piss them off. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sell too hard or whatever. And so maybe I'll work my way up to selling that ebook or whatever that I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like let's craft something that fixes the problem that they have right now. And let's put a premium price on it. And let's just offer them that. And then if they don't take that, then, you know, we can nurture them or whatever. But man, it's like when you've got an offer that's $5,000, let's say, you really don't need that many people to say yes before you have a seven-figure business. You know, if you have just 20 people a month say yes, that's $100,000 a month. That's $1.2 million a year. Yep. And I think what you'll find is that when things are marketed properly and sold properly, that is not that hard to do. Yep. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a hell of a lot easier than saying I'm going to nurture this big audience and try to build an audience, try to get noticed and try to become this mini celebrity. And then maybe one day eventually sell something. It's like, no, let's get the clients today. And then if you change enough lives, guess what? You'll become a mini celebrity eventually. And it's a hell of a lot. If you want to be a mini celebrity, cool. Right. But it's a hell of a lot easier to do that when you're making $1 million a month.
Oh, for sure.
Than when you're not, you know?
Oh yeah. You can grow the audience super fast when you've got the big budget for it.
Of course.
I don't know if you saw earlier in 2019, there was this this article that came up on Forbes. There was some Instagram influencer with like 2 million followers and they couldn't sell 30 t-shirts. Like,
I saw that.
And then I think that just proves the point that like audience size, it's a complete vanity metric if it's not the right audience for you. And you don't actually have an offer and a process for selling that offer that they want to buy.
Yeah. And so what happens is people kind of put the cart before the horse. They say to themselves, well, I got to build this big audience first. And they don't really realize how difficult of a task that is to begin with. I mean, that could take 6 months. That could take a year. You're Instagramming 4 or 5 times a day. You're posting videos. You're just grinding out all this content. And then all the while, your husband, your wife, your family, they're like, man, Russ has been on his computer all day. Is this ever going to pan out? Like, this guy's online all day. No one sees you making any money. And it feels like a hobby. Where it's like, do it the other way around. Create the offer first.
Yep.
Enroll some clients. You know, find out how to enroll people into it. And then you'll be making $20,000 a month, $50,000 a month, whatever. Yep. Your family's delighted. Your clients are happy. Everyone's happy. You're happy. And then you can expand your influence. So we have people all the time that reach out to work with us that have these big followings of 100,000 people, where, you know, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or wherever, they've got huge followings. But then when we ask them, you know, hey, how much revenue are you bringing in? It's like $5,000 a month, $6,000 a month. And it's like, look, that's not chump change. But you see these people on Instagram, like living, you know, like posting these amazing pictures of exotic places, and you think they're making a lot more than that, but they're not most of the time.
Oh man, I've met podcasters with like 1 million downloads and no revenue. I said, what the heck are you waiting for, man? What's going on? They're like, well, I don't have anything to sell. Like, man.
So start there, like start there. You know, figure out who's the client you want to serve. What's the problem you solve? You know, we help our clients put together an offer that they can sell for $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, whatever. And then once that's in place, now we can drive clients into that, and you're enrolling people. And as you do that, your influence will expand and expand, but it will expand commensurate with your income.
Yeah.
Not in spite of it, you know?
For sure. Well, let's dig into that for a little bit, because there's absolutely stages that an entrepreneur evolves through and grows through. And you've gone through these stages from idea to 8 figures in revenue now. And jumping straight into paid ads wasn't stage one, because there was some foundational stuff there. Like you mentioned, you got to make sure you have an offer, you have a very clear target market, you have a sales process. So, talk to us about what it takes to get that foundational stuff sorted out. And then at what point should we jump into paid advertising?
So sure. So what we do with our clients is, most of the people that come to work with us, they don't have crystal clarity on exactly the problem they solve. So let's just say, for example, maybe they've been a life coach for like 5 years, where they've worked with people on their marriage. They've worked with people on their fitness. They've worked with people with all kinds of different problems. So for those people, it's about dialing into like, okay, let's pick one outcome that we want to build this first offer around and getting them clarity on that. Other people have come to us and they have a sense of, well, Russ, maybe they've built a couple of successful businesses, but they've never taught someone else how to do it. Or maybe they've solved some major problem in their life. You know, my marriage is falling apart and I was able to save my marriage and I want to help people do the same thing that I did. So most people, when they come to us, they don't have like a fully fleshed out offer yet. They just know that they have some expertise that they want to monetize. And that's really all it takes. So they come to us with that expertise. And then what we do, and this is critical, is we take that expertise and we connect it to an outcome. So that one idea, just for your listeners, is going to save them a ton of time. It's going to make them a lot of money. Because here's the thing. Let's say that you're going into the fitness space, which is a very crowded space. And in that space, you have all these competitors that have been there for a really long time. They've got a bigger following than you. They're more established than you. They've just been around longer. They got the great branding. They got the Instagram. They got all that stuff. People go, well, Russ, how do I stand out in a market like that? What you do is you build everything around the outcome that you provide for people. So for example, our client, Brian, handstand coach, right? He's a handstand coach. And so what's his outcome? Well, his outcome is, Russ, I teach people how to press up into a handstand, which is a little different than just doing a handstand. You sit down on the ground with your legs out in front of you, and he puts his hands on the ground and then kind of like pushes himself up and goes up. And it's really cool when you see him do it. So all right. So that's what he teaches. Now, when Brian came to work with us, I said, okay, great. But what's the outcome of doing that? Yes, you're going to get them to do a handstand, which is super cool. But what does that mean for them? And he said, well, if they're in fitness, number one, that's like a huge feather in their cap that they can do that, because it means you're in incredible shape. It means you're never going to have back pain for the rest of your life. You're never going to have shoulder pain for the rest of your life. Your transverse abdominis muscle, whatever that is, this muscle that goes around your abs, is always going to be super tight. So you're going to lose a few inches around your waist. So anyway, there's all these incredible outcomes that come along with being able to do this thing. So I said, okay, here's what we do, Brian. We're going to position all of your offers now around that outcome. And I said, right now, when Brian came to us, he was selling his stuff for like $97, $127 or whatever, like most people do. Yeah. And I said, well, look, Brian, but honestly, what is it worth to have that outcome? Seriously, what's it worth to be able to do this, to be in incredible shape, to never have back pain for the rest of your life? And he was like, man, that's got to be worth $6,000 or $7,000. And I said, okay, that's what your program is worth. That's what we're going to sell it for. And so by positioning everything according to that outcome, now that's what people are enrolling into. And so Brian is now doing like $2.5 million a month with handstand coaching, because that's how we positioned it. So he was able to go into a very crowded space, cut through all the noise, cut through all the BS. Almost nobody knew who he was, but they knew they wanted the outcome. And that's what they latched onto. So everyone in your market probably is talking about how great they are, or talking about, you know, where they got certified, or talking about, right, you know, whatever, like follow me because I'm on a private jet, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I have a cool car. And it's like, that's all great. But your customer's thinking, what does that have to do with me? I have a problem. I need that problem fixed. And so if you go to people and you say, hey, look, you know, your marriage, whatever it is, your marriage isn't working, your marriage is falling apart. Do you want to fix it? Yes. Great. Here's what we have for you. You see what I mean? It's a much easier decision than to try to, you know, convince people that you're some celebrity or impress people or get the right certification or any of those things. When you connect what you do to an outcome, everything else flows from that and revolves around that. So that's how we're able to take clients who like no one's ever heard of, they don't really have a lot of credibility in the space, and get them doing 5 and then 6 figures a month really, really fast, because we're talking to our audience about what they want, not about how great they are.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And let's talk about what it takes from like a client fulfillment standpoint to get to 6 figures a month and beyond. Because if you say you're selling something that's $5,000, maybe it's a coaching program.
Yeah.
Like there is definitely a limit on how many clients any one person can work with. So for somebody like Brian, who's doing 7 figures now, I assume he's not the only one talking to these clients or working with these clients, because I mean, unless it's not a one-on-one type of an offer.
Yeah. So it's not. So what we found is that, sorry if there's noise, I live by, the naval base. There was literally an Apache helicopter going past my window right now. So what most of our clients do is they create a group coaching program, and that coaching program is delivered online. So for most of our clients, now again, if someone really wants to do one-on-one, I might try to talk them out of it, but if they're super committed to it, okay, fine, we can make it work with one-on-one. Or if somebody wants to do like small events, cool, we can make it work with small events. But what most of our clients do is they say, okay, well, here's where people are, and then here's the outcome I want to get them to. Mm-hmm. And they create like an 8-week program or 10-week program or 12-week program designed to take people step by step to that outcome. So for example, let's just say that it's the handstand thing. We'll just keep going with that. Maybe week one of that program is, you know, something about, I don't know anything about handstands, but maybe it's something about strengthening your wrists so you can get that sure. foundation there, right? And then maybe week two is just how do you push yourself off the ground? And then week three could be how do you do that shoulder rotation and some shoulder exercises? And then, you know, whatever the progression is, you take them through that progression where each week they're unlocking a new training. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And those trainings are all pre-recorded for the most part. So you create those trainings once, and then every week you're drip feeding those trainings to your clients, okay?
Okay.
Then once a week, you do a Q&A call with everybody. So you do a group Q&A with all of your clients there. They can ask whatever they want. And then on top of that, you might have like a help desk, or you can allow people to send you tickets via email, or you could have like a Facebook group where all your clients come together in the Facebook group and they can get support that way. Mm-hmm. But basically, that's all you need. And what we found is that putting together programs that are built that way, and you may need to add a couple things or take away a couple things, depending on whatever your thing is, you know, you can customize it how you want. But the point is that when you've got a leveraged group program like that, think about how powerful it is. A, you've got something that you can sell for $5,000 or $6,000 or $10,000. Mm-hmm. B, you've got something that's delivered 100% online. That means that you can work from anywhere in the world. And C, since the trainings are pre-recorded, the only thing you have to do is show up for those live Q&A calls and then do maybe, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day of email support for the people that sent their questions in that way.
Got it.
So now you have total location freedom and you have total time freedom, and you can work with 20, 30, 40 clients a month at those premium price points. They're going to get amazing results and you're still going to have a ton of freedom at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a great model. Is that the model that you used for your program as well?
Yeah. So for clients on demand, and again, you have to customize it for each program. So for clients on demand, my program, we're showing people how to do exactly what I just told you. So how do you do your Facebook ads? How do you do your webinars? How do you do the phone calls? How do you do all these things? So my program, you know, for a program like that, we have to get into some technical stuff. So what I did was I went out there and I got the very best Facebook people in the world. I got the very best copy coaches in the world who are going to go over your webinar, you know, with you and rewrite it and make it fantastic. Who are going to advise you on your ad copy, your landing pages, all those things. We have some of the best sales coaches in the world who are going to help you, you know, how you have those phone calls with potential clients. We even have mindset and performance coaches that are there to help our people just through like normal entrepreneurial freakouts, you know, like you go outside your comfort zone and you have that, oh God, you have that meltdown. We have people there to support our people through it. So we just looked at it and said, okay, well, what do we need to give our clients to get the best outcome? And that's how we built the program. And so I went out there and I got the best people I could find. And I really think we've put together something that's very unique in our results and our track record. You know, it speaks for itself, because most people are just in the business of giving information. It's like, cool, you want to do this? I'm going to show you how to do it. That's it. But we're in the business of doing transformation. And that means we got to not just show you how to do it, we're going to walk you through the process. We're going to answer your questions, and any head trash you have or self-sabotage or fear or doubt or overwhelm, we're going to coach you through that piece too. But what's great about it is it's still totally leveraged. So I have 31 people on my team now. I work from home. The whole team works from home. We can all go on vacation pretty much whenever we want. We can work from anywhere. I mean, it's crazy. And at the same time, we're making this massive impact and we're bringing in a ton of revenue, which is really something.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. And I'm not surprised that you've got such an emphasis on transformation. I mean, I spent 3 years working for an online course platform. I saw the data of how many people actually finish a course, and it's not pretty. You know this. And it's because what people need is not just information. There's just a ridiculous amount of it out there, and it doesn't cost too much. In many cases, it's free. Mm-hmm. But to get transformation, people will pay good money for that. And I like that you've basically taken the outcome that you help your clients accomplish, set up their sales and marketing systems for their offers. You've broken that up into milestones, and then they're getting like customized coaching and feedback from different specialists along the way. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
And the only reason, and like I said, my offer is a little different because we are doing technical stuff. If you've never run Facebook ads before, it's difficult. But like Brian, he's helping people do handstands. He doesn't need a whole team of coaches there to help people do handstands, you know, or like if you're maybe fixing someone's marriage or helping someone get good at dating or anything else, it's like you can probably do it with a much smaller team than I have because there's just not all this technical support that goes into it.
Well, you're tackling quite a few pieces. Like you could break up each one of those milestones, and that could be a program on its own.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on kind of changes in the advertising marketplace in general? Because I've seen Facebook, become a lot more competitive over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Almost every industry is playing there, except for the ones that Facebook really doesn't like the MLMs and CBD, different things like that. But most industries can play there. Are you guys looking at other platforms as potential places to advertise, or is everybody still winning with Facebook?
Well, we're always playing with other platforms. So we were using Twitter for a while, and that was actually really effective. And then actually it's funny, when Twitter was going great for us, and then the 2016 election happened, and Twitter just got so ridiculously toxic across the board that we were just like, we got to get out of here. And it hasn't really bounced back. So we're advertising on Facebook. We're advertising on YouTube. We've played around with LinkedIn. So we're always looking for other places to advertise. Just right now, Facebook is the best in town.
Okay.
But here's what's cool. Most of our competitors who are using a different model, they're running ads on Facebook and they're sending it to something that's like a low ticket offer, even something that's $1,000 offer or $2,000 offer. And what's happening is they're either losing money on the front end, right? Or they're just barely breaking even. So in other words, it costs them $2,000 in advertising to make a $2,000 sale. And now after the people buy that $2,000 thing, they're sitting there going, oh God, I hope I can sell them something else.
Right.
So that they can turn a profit. And it's really important that people understand that, because if all you're doing is breaking even, you can put up some really amazing revenue numbers. I can be like, oh, I did $30 million on Facebook this month. But if I spent, $30 million on advertising, I really didn't do anything. So what's cool about this model is because you're sending people from Facebook right into a high ticket offer that's transformational, that's something they really need, you can be really profitable on the front end with your Facebook ads. So just to let you know, over the last 5 years, we've consistently earned back $8 to $15 for every dollar we've spent on Facebook. And that return happens really fast. And we've been able to do that consistently for 5 years. And I don't know anyone else that's really been able to do that. You see people maybe can pull that kind of a return if it's like a big launch and there's all this hype and publicity around it. But for us to get that kind of ROI, like clockwork, boom, 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 over years and years, really just shows you the power of the model and the power of, hey man, it's high ticket, it's expensive, but it's like you're selling people what they actually need.
Yeah.
And I think that as time goes by, just to talk about changes in the industry, right? As time goes by, what's happening is people are getting more and more sophisticated. And I think as people get more sophisticated, they're realizing that their problem is not going to be solved by like an ebook or by watching a YouTube video or whatever. And you see people that are like me, like I don't have washboard abs. Right there in that bookshelf, I have about 20 books about how to get washboard abs, right? So clearly the information is not the problem. And I think that's where most people are at. People are starting to realize, hey, to really create a change in your life, you need a lot more than that. And so that's what we offer. And that's what we teach our clients to offer too. And that's how they're able to go into these very crowded spaces like dating and just dominate, because everybody's sick and tired of just like more information. They want the real result. And if you show up in a marketplace and you're prepared to really do what it takes to get results for your clients, you're going to do very, very well, because most people just aren't willing to do what it takes.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's really good advice. And, you still don't even have any tripwires at this point, right? Is it just straight high ticket offer? There's no.
Yeah. Why waste someone's time?
Yeah.
I guess if you wanted to be technical about it, you could say that the webinar is a tripwire in some way. It's free.
But you're out there selling eBooks or $100 courses or whatever.
No.
Got it. Okay. Mm-mm. Cool. No, that's good to know. I appreciate that. What metrics are you teaching people to keep a close eye on when they've got a high ticket offer and they're jumping in? Advertising, what are the metrics that really matter?
Well, the number one metric obviously is your client results. Everything flows from that. And for me, it's like every decision you make in your business should be based around one question: what's going to get the best outcomes for my client? And if you really internalize that, it's going to tell you how you should market yourself, how you should price your stuff, all those things. Now, as far as the funnel goes, the two most important metrics are: what are you spending to get a call booked?
Okay.
And what are you earning for every call you get booked? Right? So in other words, how much are you spending in advertising to get a potential client on the phone? And then, you know, for your average call that you do with a potential client, what are you earning? Does that make sense? So just to make the math easy, let's say you have a $10,000 offer. You talk to 10 people and you sell one person into the $10,000 offer, right? Yeah. On average, that means for every person you speak to, you're making $1,000, right? Yeah. So if you're only spending $100 to get someone on the phone, now you're making back $10 for every $1 you spend on advertising.
Yeah. And in that scenario, you could spend up to $1,000 to get a call, and at 10 calls break even. And then if you just got a little bit better at selling, and you brought your close rate up, then all of a sudden you're doing pretty good there.
Yeah. And normally what our clients are looking at, if they are even a little bit good at enrolling people, right? I mean, cause you should be getting better than 1 in 10.
Yeah,
so it's like, right. So if you've got a, you know, and in most niches, in most markets, you might spend about, I don't know, $100 to get a really, really super qualified person on the phone who just saw your webinar like that morning, and now they're talking to you, so they're super warmed up. You might spend $100. And so if you've got an $8,000 offer, you can see how fast you can get a great ROI. Like, let's say you enroll 1 in 4. Now you're spending $400 to make an $8,000 sale, you know? And even if it's like 1 in 8, you know, or whatever, you're spending $800 to make an $8,000 sale. It's like, okay, I'll do that all day long. It's like, I'm going to play a game with Mark Zuckerberg where I hand him $1 in advertising and he hands me back $10. Like, I'll do that all day. So the ROI is just on, it's like nothing else. And what's great about it is you're selling people what they actually need. You know, they don't want another ebook. They don't want to read something. They don't want to watch another video, man. They just want the freaking result. So if you give them something that's going to get them that result, it's like they're going to be so unbelievably grateful, and you're going to feel a lot better because you'll be able to look back across all these clients and say, man, look, I actually changed their lives. Where my big frustration, probably like a lot of the people at the company you worked for, where it, you know, you realize that like most of the time when you're selling a course or a program, most people don't do anything with it. And that's where I started. I started out selling information, and the reviews were always good. People were always happy. Russ, that program was so great, blah, blah, blah. But then I would ask, hey, what'd you do with it? And it's like, oh, well, yeah, I'll get to it. You know, it was really good. It looks good. It's interesting. I'll get to it down the road. Yeah. And over time, that started to bother me. Like, why aren't people doing anything? And that was the genesis of this model. It's like, what would happen if I stopped doing all the low ticket stuff and I just sold people something that can really change their lives? And that was it. And I worked with not a ton of clients, but a smaller number of clients at a higher price. What would happen? Mm-hmm. That was the genesis of this whole model. And you know, now we're doing, you know, what, something like $15 million a year in revenue. But we have all these clients whose lives and businesses have been transformed because this model works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Now you mentioned that your team has grown quite a bit. You got 30 people on your team, everybody working from home. That's pretty awesome. I'm curious, over the past, you know, 5+ years that you've been doing this, the stages that you went through internally, from a team and system standpoint. So early days, like let's say from you, you know, just getting started up to about 100K a month revenue, what did your team look like then? It was just me. It was just you.
It was me. I think I had, you know, I had someone helping me with my Facebook ads.
Okay.
But basically it was just me. I mean, it was just me. I had my first $200,000 month on my own using this model. And then I had someone, you know, helping me with my Facebook ads. So then we found this to be true with our clients as well. You know, we've had clients where as a one-man operation, you can get to $100,000 a month. And then I would say once you go past that mark where now you're bringing on a team, then just certain things just naturally begin to come into play. So what are the standards going to be for your team? What do they need to do? Who's going to hold them accountable for hitting those standards? You know, how are you going to make sure that they're, let's say you have someone, you know, on the phone selling for you. You know, how are you going to make sure that person is not just promising a bunch of stuff that you don't, you know, that you don't deliver? Hey, join my program and, you know, Jay-Z is going to come to your house and wash your car. And he was like, you know, you have to have some kind of control where you're keeping an eye on these people. And so from that comes standards, comes procedures, comes processes, comes having a team of people to monitor those things.
Yeah. Had you had any experience with building teams or growing teams or setting up systems?
No.
Okay. So at what point did you have to start hiring for the full-time team members? And where did you learn that stuff? You know,
literally like trial and error.
Okay.
Yeah. So I, the one thing that I have, that I can just say, like, I don't have like a ton of talents, right? But the thing that I'm really, really good at is saying, okay, here's my outcome. Mm-hmm. Here's how everyone else is getting that outcome. And what's wrong with that? Is there a way to do it better? Is there a way to do it simpler with fewer steps? And then if that is the case, what are those steps and designing that process?
Okay.
That's what I'm really good at. That's the way my mind works, is I've been able to do that. And so obviously that served me in really good stead when we were building this business, is that I could say, okay, well, what's like the ordinary way of doing this? And is there a better way that everybody's missing? And so as far as plotting out those systems, I was able to do that. But then I was fortunate enough to bring on some executives that were just absolutely phenomenal at what they did. So like the first, I brought on a gal to do my Facebook ads, and she was phenomenal. And then she became exclusive with me, and she was kind of our director of marketing. And then I realized that the big snag my clients were running into wasn't strategic. So people would sign up for the program, they would go through the program, and in the course of implementing the strategy, they didn't get stuck on the strategy. They got stuck in fear and doubt and overwhelm and all those like
mindset emotions, stuff.
Mindset yeah. stuff. So yeah, yeah. I went to the best mindset people I knew, and I brought on a girl named Jane Jewell, who had worked, got certified as a mindset coach when she was 15. I think she was 40 when she started working for me. And so mindset coaching is the only thing she had ever done for her entire life. She's phenomenal at it. And what was great about that is I initially brought her on as a mindset coach to work with our clients, but this skill of coaching, and you can see Google and all these other companies are starting to talk about how important coaching is. You get someone on your team who's a phenomenal coach, and that person more likely than not is going to be a phenomenal leader and a phenomenal executive. Mm-hmm. And that's what she turned out to be. And so from there, she and I working together were able to really build out this larger team and this larger culture. And that's just kind of how it grows. It grows organically. But I think really what helped is that my focus the entire time was never on how do we make more money? How do we make more money? How do we make more money? It was always on how do we get better results for the clients and make more money at the same time. And it sounds like a simple shift, but I really think a lot of people just don't think that way, right? Their number one priority is how do we get money in the door? And then, maybe some people consume our information product and maybe they won't. And, maybe we'll get a 30% refund rate, but if we're still profitable, we'll be okay. Right. You know what I mean? And it's like, and I think that having that client first focus is really what helped me to attract these people, because they could sense that what we were doing here was different. I mean, nobody that I ever brought on was new, like, to the online marketing world. I mean, they were all really familiar with online marketing, and most of them will tell you the same thing, man. When I heard about Russ, someone told me, oh, you should go talk to this guy, Russ. It was like, oh man, another one of these marketer guys. Oh dude, these guys are so full of it. But I'm like, yeah, you should hear Mark, my director of sales, talk about it. He's like, dude, I didn't want to take the call with you, because I was like, oh, it's another internet guy, blah, blah, blah. But like, they come on board and they see that we're for real about really, really helping people. And, and that's going to attract really good people into your business.
So you've got a very strong culture then internally.
Yes.
Awesome. What's your role in the business? Like in any given week, let's say, what are some of the things you're spending your time on and giving your attention to?
Well, so you should be meeting with your executive team at least once a week individually, and as a group. But my primary role in the company is to set the strategic vision for where we're going and how we're going to get there, and that means really, really thinking in a very, very big picture way. So right now we're probably doing about $15 million a year in revenue. My objective is to get us to $100 million, and we know exactly how we're going to get there. We have the exact plan. We have it all mapped out. We have whatever. So at that point, then it's just me making sure that we have the right people doing the right things right.
Okay.
So is everyone on the team an A player? And then what are the metrics that we're measuring? And so we have our key metrics. We meet together as a team once a week. We review those metrics, and then we make decisions about what needs to change and what needs to stay the same, whether that's a personnel change, or maybe have the wrong person, or we have the wrong person in the wrong seat, or there's something that needs to be changed or improved about the process. Mm-hmm. But you're right, man. I mean, you know, there definitely is this transition that happens where you go from being a solopreneur or a coach to mm-hmm. being like a real business leader. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we really, I think, do a good job of kind of shepherding our clients through. Because if you're just a coach and you've, you know, on your own, you're making $40,000 a year or something like that, and it's just you and maybe you have like a secretary or an assistant or something like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we get your business doing $100,000 a month. And now you're building out a team. It's like, that's like a big transition for most people. So we gotta really kind of coach them through that process.
And that triggers some mindset stuff too, right?
If for sure.
You rip somebody way out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, we were just talking about this, man. Like our biggest problem isn't getting people results. It's that we get people results and they freak out. We have to help them like get their head around the fact that like, oh my God, I'm making more money than anyone in my family has ever made. You know, and the thing is like, it sounds crazy. It sounds absurd. Like, are you kidding me? People really, they're freaking out that they're making $100,000 a month. It's like, no, they'll freak out. And so will you. You'll have that moment of like, oh God, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I remember a few years ago, I did, while I was working at for that software company, I did a real estate flip on the side, pulled in a six-figure profit, for flipping a townhouse.
Wow.
And so it's like, there it is. You know, I know that, you know, six-figure numbers hitting my bank account. And I called my uncle who's done some real estate investing. I'm like, I want to buy another property. I'm like, I'm going to put offers on more properties now. He's like, you just need to let that money sit in your account and look at it and not do anything with it for a little bit. And I get now why he was telling me to do that, because he wanted me to make that normal, like get used to seeing that and not freak out and try to get rid of it subconsciously. He was helping me like kind of reset my mind at getting used to seeing that kind of thing happen, and not just being in a rush to get rid of it. I imagine that a lot of your clients have had a similar experience.
Yeah, man. It's like those people that like, you know, never made more than $20,000-$30,000 a year in their life, and then they win the lottery, and it's like, boom, here's $20 million. It's like most of those people end up broke because they just, their brain just, you, like, you can't handle it. So part of what we have to do is not just get them the results, but we have to get them their income goes like this, their mindset better go like this too. Because if their income is here and their mindset's here, they're going to find a way to start sabotaging things.
For sure. And it never ends, man. Like, we got to rinse and repeat at every level. Like, you're doing 15 million a year now, your goal's 100. That's a different level.
Yep.
So how are you preparing for that level, I guess? Are there certain, you know, people you're trying to get around, or certain resources, or like, how are you just mentally preparing yourself and your team to shoot for that kind of a target? And how's that affecting like your decisions?
Well, so you always start with the presupposition that it's possible. Right. Okay. So I believe in being audacious, and I believe in setting goals that seem out of reach, these stretch goals, right? To say $100 million, it's a big stretch goal. And so you've got to be setting big goals like that. Right. And then the second thing is you have to understand what that number represents, because it really is just a number. And the God's honest truth is that if my company was doing $100 million, versus $15 million, I can't really imagine that my lifestyle would be that much different.
Right.
You know, maybe instead of chartering a private jet, you own the private jet, but so what? You're still flying in a private jet. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, functionally, it's just not that big of a difference. And so what you need to do is you need to connect that to the mission, right? So once you get past a certain revenue threshold, it just becomes more and more and more and more about the mission. You know, to get to $100 million, it's like, yeah, that's a great number and it's totally arbitrary, but how many lives do we have to change? How many people do we have to impact? How many businesses do we have to rescue in order to do that? And so that's what gets us out of bed in the morning, you know, and that's what keeps us going. And then as far as the mechanics of how we're going to get there, obviously our business model is really different than what most people are doing. Mm-hmm. But a guy said something to me that was just absolutely brilliant. He said, Russ, don't think that because you're running an online business that you invented business.
Right.
And that, like, and it was just such a brilliant thing, because we always do. We always think, oh, my business is different. My business is special. But the truth is that the rules of business still apply. You got to hire great people. You have to have a great culture. You have to do right by your clients. You got to do right by your team. And so the majority of what I've been looking into lately is just looking at the writings of people that have done that. You know, Ray Dalio, the billionaire who runs Bridgewater, he's got a great book called Principles. It's like 600 pages. It's definitely not an easy read, but man, in that book, he just lays out the whole roadmap of exactly how to get there. Read another great book, by a woman named Patty McCord about the, can't think of the title, but it was by a woman named Patty McCord about the culture at Netflix, which was just phenomenal. So you just begin thinking about these bigger and bigger and bigger picture, issues of enforcing standards and what that's going to look like and what your team's going to look like. And it's, but what's great about it, man, is it's just, it's this, this journey of like personal evolution. You know, you hit these challenges and these roadblocks that are just like soul crushing, and then you solve them and you get past it. Mm-hmm. And then you're just stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, where, you know, something that would have just laid me out like 3 years ago, it happens now, and it's just another day at the office.
Sure.
Seriously.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. What would you say has been one of the most painful experiences or setbacks in growing this company?
There really haven't been that many, to be honest. When you lose great people, it can be difficult. Like when you have a transition and it's a business, you know, people are going to come, people are going to go, whatever. That's always difficult. When you have to let someone go that you really, really, really like personally, but that just isn't performing, you know, that always sucks. You know, things like that. And if you're going to be making a difference and you're going to be a, an influencer, you know, we live in a world where the great thing about the internet is that everybody has a voice. The shitty thing about the internet is that everybody has a voice. And so as you start making a bigger impact in the world, you know, there's going to be haters, and then learning how to deal with that, you know, and thank God we don't really have that many,
right?
But it almost doesn't matter, because you can have 100 clients send you the most amazing stories and testimonials in the world, and one person who's never even worked with you, who's like, oh, Tyler sucks or whatever, you know, whatever. And that's what you fixate on, because we're human beings and that's what we do. So, but it's all just the normal stuff like that. I mean, overall, I would say like building this company has been an absolute blast. It hasn't been easy, but you evolve so much faster as a person when you're when you're setting big goals and tackling big challenges. I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, look, the bigger the goals you set, the bigger the problems, the bigger the challenges you're going to run into. And that if you want to be heavyweight champion of the world, guess what? You're going to get punched in the face.
Yeah, some pretty big punches too.
Yeah, you can't be there in the ring and then you get hit and you're like, well, he hit me. Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, that's what this is, you know? So you just tell yourself, look, man, there's going to be challenges that come up, but I'll deal with it, because you know, what else are we going to do? You know what I mean? I'm not going to go work at Starbucks. I'm not going to go become a sandwich artist at Subway. It's like, you know, nothing wrong with that, but that's not for me. I'm going to build, I want to build something great and whatever it takes.
For sure. For sure. And no, and I remember when we talked a few years ago, and you shared that process for acquiring clients and how you had helped a lot of these people build a life and a business on their own terms. And you're kind of past that point. You're past the point of, you know, lifestyle business now, where it's just about you and paying for your lifestyle. You mentioned like you've already got the great lifestyle. Like you've had it for some time now. Mm-hmm. You've got a team now that each like enjoy the work they do and have a lifestyle, and you've got clients that are there as well. So I'm just curious how that's affected the way that you define success now. In the physical world, you kind of, you know, you have the abundance, you have the things that were just a goal at some point a while back. So what's driving you now? What's the motive now? And how would you define success now?
Well, the motive is the mission. I mean, look, it's really hard to be mission driven when you're barely making rent, you know, I mean, and I actually think that's healthy. You know, you're like, you need to get money in the door. Your business is just getting started. It's this fledgling idea. It's like, you just, you know, you're focused on, hey man, I got to get some cash in the door. And I think that's okay. That's healthy. But once your business gets to a certain point, it just becomes about the mission, man. And you look at the people that we're helping and the businesses that we've transformed, the lives that we've saved. And it's that's just becomes your motivation because there's no substitute for that. So I always say like, we really get excited about our clients' results, right? But we're working with coaches and thought leaders. So it's our clients' clients that really get me excited. You know, like my clients, Meg and Alfred, they're this couple in Australia, and their specialty is helping people transform and save their marriages. So you get people come into them that are like on the verge of divorce and they turn it around. And it's like, they show me their clients' testimonials. Like, thank you, you saved our marriage. You know, we were going to get divorced and now we're not. And it's just like, you know, obviously they did that, not me. Yeah. But I like to think a little bit of that good karma kind of trickles up to us because we showed them how to get those clients and how to do that offer, you know? And, so what you realize is that you're having this incredible impact on your team. You're having this incredible impact on your clients, but more than that, you're empowering your clients to go out there and do amazing things for their clients. So it's just this like incredibly blessed existence where like, I can't even think about it. Cause when I think about it, I start to get like emotional. You almost can't get your head around it. It's like, for me, I just have to focus on show up, do a good job. you know, like, what do I have to do today? Let's do a good job, whatever. And when we have a big event or something and I have like hundreds of people coming up to me, telling me these really moving stories, I had a guy at the last one say, you saved my life. He's like, look, I'm not going to get into the details, but you saved my life. If I hadn't clicked on that ad and watched that webinar and joined Clients on Demand, I don't think I'd be here right now. And it's just like, what do you do with that? It's almost like you just kind of have to go, cool, man. Awesome. That's great. You know, and you're happy about it. But it's like, if you really stop and let that in, it's just like, it's scary. You know, you can't really get your head around it. So
yeah,
for us, it's like, we just show up and we do a good job and we, you know, it's like, it stops being about the money. It starts being about the mission.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. That's really inspiring to hear. Well, Russ, this has been a pleasure, man. I want to thank you for your time. And for anyone who's listening to this, what can they do to support you, man? Like, where can they go to learn more about what you're up to or get in touch with you, or
yeah, sure,
you'd like to leave them with?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do, is, you know, you guys know who we work with. We work with, you know, coaches, consultants, thought leaders. We work with people that solve a major life or business challenge, right? So if you're running a bakery or you're running a restaurant, obviously that's not you, but if you're listening to this and you're going, oh man, that sounds like me. And, if you want to get high ticket clients in the door and you want to do it on a consistent basis on a way that really gets results for people, then look, we'd like to talk to you. So what I'd like you to do is go to clientsondemand.com/Tyler, clientsondemand.com/Tyler. That's going to take you to a calendar page where you can actually book an appointment to speak to us about how you can apply these ideas to your business starting today. So how can you, you know, can you be raising your prices? Can you be, you know, deploying this kind of sales process to get those clients in the door? Can this process I've been talking about, can it work for you? And if it can work for you, great. We'll talk about that. And if not, we'll tell you that too. But either way, just having that conversation with us, I think is going to give you so much clarity. And it's going to save you so much time and trial and error that it'll be the best thing you've done for your business. So go to clientsondemand.com/Tyler and book an appointment to talk to us.
Awesome. Appreciate that. And I'll make sure I link to that on the show notes page. Russ, it's been a pleasure, man.
Thank you, man.
All the best.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Influence and Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.